Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
The debate, the rankings, all that type of stuff. And I do think, even though the 12-team playoff has not been a perfect system for the postseason, I think the best thing about the 12-team playoff has been the way it's improved the regular season by making the regular season more exciting by having, you know, going into November with like 30 to 40 teams still in the playoff race and you have so many games with playoff stakes around them. I think that's been a boon for the sport. I don't actually know that I think the playoff is like some great entity now. It's better than what came before, but I really think the huge upside of the 12-team playoff is how it's improved the regular season.
No, and I'm with you, but this is also why it's like I kind of want to cap it at 12. Like, yes, it was unfortunate. We got to a season where there was probably more candidates that could have made the field and been credible. Tough. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't lose, don't have your extra point, don't have your field goal snapper drop the ball, you know, on an extra point against A&M. Like, you know, like, tough. Like, you had opportunities. You played games. You had a chance to change your circumstances. You didn't. Like, that's just kind of the way that it is. The more you expand it, the more it becomes a postseason sport, and you're just never going to be the NFL in terms of the quality of competition. Like, there's just not going to be that. And so I don't know if it can function entirely as a postseason sport.
I agree. And I think there's this strange fascination, probably more in the media than stakeholders, but of like creating like some sort of college basketball crescendo to the end of the season. It's just like, they're entirely different sports. And okay, you look at college basketball and it has this incredible postseason, but let's face it, like your average American sports fan watches 4 weeks of college basketball and they feel like they've seen the entire season. Like it's just a different sport. It all revolves around the postseason. So you start watching around conference tournament time, you watch March Madness, and that's what your average American sports fan does. And I think you're kind of getting at this. Like, I don't want college football to become that, because the best part of the sport is that it has the best regular season in all of sports, not just college sports, but any sport. I think it's the best regular season. And I think you're right. Like, if we bloat the playoff, I think you start to lose a little bit of that. And I know there were like some people sounding the alarm bells that going from 4 to 12 would dilute the regular season. And I never bought that argument. And I don't think it has diluted the regular season. I mean, maybe like a handful of individual games don't mean as much as they would have in the 4-team.
It took playoff. Away to me is it took away the making fun of your rival for the soul crushing loss. Like Alabama losing to Vandy should have been the end of Alabama football. That's not what cost them the playoff last year. It was going to Norman and losing.
Right. Right. But I still like that, like, with 12 teams, so much of the focus is at least on, like, the top 10 teams in the country, right? Like, as we go, if we go to from 12 to 16 to 24, like, all the focus is going to start to shift on those teams from, like, the 16 to the 25 range. And it's like,
who's getting in the play-in?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I don't want to sound like Nick Saban, but is that what we want for the sport? As Nick would say about anything he didn't like. And it's like, I don't think that's not what I want for the sport. Like, I don't want all the focus to shift on the 24th ranked Iowa Hawkeyes or whatever. I you know, it was unfortunate the way the selection process played out in some ways. We've talked about this before. I don't have a major objection to Notre Dame not being in. I don't love the way they went about it, but like ultimately Notre Dame not being in the bracket to me is not enough of a reason to go from 12 to 16 or 10-2 Vanderbilt not being in. Like I feel for Vanderbilt. I do, because they've had this historic season. Diego Pavia has this great season and they go 10-2 and they don't get in. But when it's like, I mean, Clark Lee said it, like they had their chances. They played Texas and Alabama and lost to both. And for most of the game against Texas, they got smushed before the rallying in the fourth quarter.
The irony is like the Bama game was closer than the Texas game, but it's like the final scores, you know, they lose by 16 on paper to Bama, and then they lose by 3 to Texas. And it's like, if you watch those two games, the game that they were in was Alabama, not the Texas game.
Right, right. And you know, Texas, like, I think, sure, they had a case, but they didn't make the cut. You know, it was a crowded bubble, and they shouldn't have lost at the Swamp. They did. And so you don't make it. And, like, I don't think the playoff necessarily becomes worse by going from 12 to 16 teams. I think the playoff might actually become a little bit better. But I don't think it's better enough to necessarily justify expansion. And how long, if you went to 16 before we went to 24? I don't know. 12 to me, I like 12. I don't think that this particular bracket, you know, some of the first round games don't jazz me all that much. You got two with a triple three possession betting spread. You got one that's a rematch of a game that was kind of messy the first time around. But guess what? Next year's bracket, if it stays at 12, might look entirely different. And I think what it's done for the regular season, it's worth preserving, and let's see it for another year or two. I think that would be fine.
No, the only thing that's actually been alarming to me, like you said, my whole thing is stop getting mad at G6s, and let's be real. Television network, stop telling your talent that you're upset and that you want, you know, we want the best teams. Stop that and start focusing your anger on the ACC, because if the ACC would have just had a decent team in, we're sitting here and talking about what, Notre Dame going to Oxford? Like we would have only had, like, we're going to have probably, if we have a G6, we're probably going to have one game that's not going to be super interesting. All right, that's fine. Like the biggest problem, the reason why I do think you're right that it's an issue when two out of your four games are only interesting in the first round, like that, I do think that's a long-term problem. But honestly, to me, the only thing that has actually alarmed me during this whole process is when we have Tony Petitti or whoever, you know, a Big Ten athletic director leak out a plan that involves like 24 teams with play-ins and whatnot. We all like, that's stupid. Don't do that. But then we always wind up in this situation where what if we had Vanderbilt play Texas like in Hawaii next week and the winner gets to go in. It's like, no, y'all are going down the rabbit hole. Like, that's how they win. That's how we get these stupid play-in things. Like, that's what you're just describing. That's the only thing that actually scares me is people are now starting to talk themselves into it.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like, I don't want to, I don't think it's fair to have to win a play-in game when you've maybe already played that game during the regular season. The regular season is the play-in games. Like, why should Oregon have to beat Iowa a second time to get into the playoff when they already went to Iowa City and beat Iowa? That's why they're in the playoff, and one of the reasons why Iowa isn't. Like, they shouldn't have to play them a second time. And I think, like, you know, for the coaches, the ones that are maybe on the outside looking in, that might sound fine. You know, it sounds great to Eli Drinkwitz because he knows as long as he's at Missouri, he's probably not going to be in the playoff, a 12-team playoff very often. But it's like, if you're on the other side of the fence, if you're Dan Lanning and the rules change, it goes to play-in games, and you're like, how does that sound to you? You're like, I already beat these guys in the regular season. Why am I playing them in a play-in game? You know, I don't think we need that. And it's not our fault that these conferences grew to such a size that you only see half the teams in your conference now. Like that, nobody made these conferences expand. And so we don't need play-in games just because you don't play everybody in your conference. If you want to start seeing more teams in your conference and clarify the pecking order, well, don't add a play-in game. play more conference games. You know,
come on, Blake. We can't have that. You know,
no,
that might be another loss.
Yeah, exactly. Kirby Smart will boycott the sport. Boy, you would have thought, replacing Louisville on the schedule with Arkansas was going to ruin the Georgia program the way Kirby got up on his soapbox after the SEC championship, adding a ninth conference game. But yeah, I mean, play-in games, like, you're right. I don't want to see us talking ourselves into that of like, ooh, you know, wouldn't we want to see
Who wouldn't want to watch that game? It's like, okay, now you're just – the more you make your – like, this is the risk of it. The more you make your sport just feel like – we get it to a certain degree. It's all a cash grab.
Mm-hmm.
But when it just starts becoming soulless cash grabs of let's create more TV inventory, that's when you really start to actually mess with the competition.
Right, and the other thing is, when you create this play-in Saturday, like, you're kind of telling fans and really anyone around your ecosystem that, like, you can kind of tune out for the 3 months leading up to this and watch play-in Saturday, and then you'll see who gets in and who doesn't, you know? Forget the regular season, because when it comes down to it, there's going to be all these games on play-in Saturday, and that's going to what, you know, it would go to college basketball. It'd be like telling people, you can start watching the season now. It's conference tournament time. Here's where people are going to be punching their tickets, and you can catch up on what you missed when you weren't watching the entire season. Like, I don't think the juice of a play-in Saturday is worth the squeeze of what it's going to cost you leading up to play-in Saturday. I mean, you're completely going to devalue everything that leads up to that point. And also, like, then the whole thing becomes an exercise of, like, who's in like fifth and sixth place in the conference standings.
That's what matters.
That's never what this sport has been about. And like, you know, we're going to turn it into, you know, trying to grapple with each other to get into fifth place in the conference standings. And then everybody has to learn all these tiebreaker rules that determine whether you're in fourth place or fifth place or sixth place, because they all got the same record and they didn't play each other. So now we're getting tiebreakers involved. Like,
you're going to make me read yeah. Bylaws? Gross. Take it away.
Like, For as much as people like to complain about the committee and the rankings and whatever, it's like the polls have been around in college football for, what, almost 100 years. Like, we all understand how it works. The team ranked higher than the other team is in better standing, you know? Like, we don't
well,
understand.
Well, maybe not with this committee.
Well, yeah, and maybe not with this playoff format when an 8-5 team gets a chance to be admitted on Selection Sunday. But in general, we understand the way rankings work. We don't really understand when four teams are tied in the conference standings and you got to go down to like 0.5 in the conference tiebreaker and it says something about, you know, ESPN Connolly Plus format. It's like, wait a second, what place is my team in the standings? That's just stupid.
You're telling me Boston College and Syracuse matters?
Right.
What a great sport. All right, buddy, safe travels.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Blake Topmeyer, Senior National College Football Columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk some NFL. We had Thursday Night Football. Discuss that. And also, DeMichael's going to explain to us if this Jake Paul fight tomorrow is actually a big deal. We'll discuss it next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
ESPN.
Add some sparkle to the holidays with our good friends over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Some of the top holiday picks include lab-grown diamond stud earrings. Every woman needs a pair of diamond studs. They're like the little black dress of jewelry. And now you can get the 2-carat lab-grown diamond studs starting at just $7.99. You can also check out the designer diamond necklace in 14-carat gold or the diamond flexi bangle bracelets. They're comfortable, durable, and incredibly versatile. It's the perfect gift that looks great worn solo or stacked. But hurry on in because quantities are limited, and get on over to Robert Irwin Jewelers to take advantage of it now. Of course, it's always big engagement season. If you're thinking about getting engaged, go see our friends over at Robert Irwin Jewelers because you can choose from the handcrafted engagement rings in unique, trendy, and fashion-forward styles that she'll love, or you can do something one-of-a-kind and design your own dream ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Hurry on in now for the best selection. They're going to be open on Sunday, and they have extended holiday hours as well. Also, you can shop now and pay later with 12 months interest-free financing, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Robert Irwin Jewelers, bigger, brighter diamonds, all at better prices, 5 locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. Let's get in the list. Thursday Night Football. All right, boys. The Rams fall in overtime, 38-37 to the Seahawks. And what I was saying at the beginning of the show, though, is the weird realization that I had watching that game was there was, in the back of my mind, I was like, even when it was like 30-14, I was like, this just kind of, the game.
Did you really?
It was so weird that I was like, it feels like the Seahawks are going to win this for no reason. And then that was also before Darnold threw the red zone pick. I still left that game thinking the Rams are the better team.
Yeah.
And I understand that Seattle controls its destiny.
Two-point conversions.
But it's also, like, you cannot make the – we're now with Darnold. He has thrown 7 picks against the Rams.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he made some big throws late, but he also made plays that are going to cost you. And if they don't get – if they don't get the punt return
– mm-hmm.
Here's my thing on the 2-point conversion. I understand they got it right by the rule.
By the rule.
Can we also acknowledge if everybody stops playing, the play's over?
He didn't even go pick up that ball.
Right, he was just it was almost like he picked it up to hand it to the ref.
Yeah, here you go, ref. Like,
that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, okay.
The nice guy. They said the nice guys don't win, man.
And it's like, I understand, by definition, it's a clear and obvious recovery.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you got to make the argument the refs did not blow the whistle.
They didn't. That's,
you play to the whistle.
That's the first thing they teach you.
But, man, that just feels like if everybody gives up on the play, it's like, all right, it's over.
You got to play through the whistle.
Just play to the echo of the whistle.
But to your point, the guy who recovered the ball wasn't even playing through the whistle.
Like, he was almost like, I guess I'm over here.
How many times on real incomplete passes do we see linemen just like diving over a football and whatnot?
I mean, he was the intended receiver.
Now, I guess what you can – a legitimate argument is the Rams have a kicking problem. I mean, Mevis is like I think their third kicker this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell – some of the McVay going for it early was like, I do not trust this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're just going to keep going for it. I did also have this in one of my big money fantasy teams because, you know, everybody loves to hear about everyone else's fantasy team. I told George all day yesterday my dilemma was I had Stafford, but it was 35-mile-per-hour winds with rain and disgusting weather.
Yep.
Or Baker on Sunday against the Panthers. And also, back in the previous game that the Rams won, Stafford was like 14 of 20 for 140 yards, two scores. And so I'm just sitting there going, weather, everything. It's like, all right,
you went Baker.
I'm going to play Baker. Ooh. And then you're sitting there now with the situation.
Now
where,
we know.
Like,
now we know why he went off.
There 450. What did he throw for, like 440?
Yep. Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh, God, that was just the classic. And it's like that one decision, you know, it's like, okay, I don't even need to play on Sunday. Like, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, that's just,
you know, that's the one that's just going to burn you.
It's like my only hope is that Baker, like, runs for 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
And Mike Evans plays.
Gabe was not happy when he saw me in the hallway just now.
Yeah, he is Puka.
Oh,
I'm a Puka owner.
Oh, you're a Puka owner. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Might be GG's for him. That might be it.
Is he the best receiver in football? I think he is.
Do you?
I know.
No.
He's
really good. He's really good. But a lot of it is maneuvered for him too, and it's McVay does a really good. I mean, he lines up in the backfield. He lines up in the slot. I think that's part of it. I'm not going to take the crown away from Jefferson and Chase because they had quarterback problems this year.
I was also thinking about this.
Especially Jefferson.
Yeah, especially Jefferson.
Jamar still put up numbers.
Yeah, with quarterback problems.
I'm willing to give Justin a pass because when you watch it,
it's nasty.
It's not like
it's nothing he can do, man.
And at least like when Jamar has quarterback problems, his quarterback problems
they target him. It's Flacco, and it
was Browning, and they were at least throwing him the ball.
Throw him the ball, yeah. Like the Vikings are running it like 60%+ of the time.
My thing with Puka is he's an unbelievable contested catch guy.
Yep.
He
runs after the catch, too.
He's great after the catch.
Mm-hmm.
He's also, like, a lot bigger than you realize.
Stocky little guy.
Like, he bodies people. I don't know. Like, I just keep wondering. It's like, I know he doesn't – he's never going to go first on a draft board.
Right.
But is he, like – New Cup.
I guess is like the better question, maybe not is he just the best pure receiver, but is he the most well-rounded receiver? Because to your point, there were a ton of plays even late in that game where it's just this short little dig, and next thing you know, Puka's just dragging three DBs with him and turned a, 4-yard route into 9, 10 yards?
I mean, look
yards.
At the touchdown play. The overtime grab, it's just like... It's like Seattle made the mistake of going man, and it's like every time they go man, he beats his guy.
Yeah, he's a problem. But I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and act like Brandon Cooks didn't look like a top five receiver with McVay either. So you know, he's top five to me. But I mean, I think he's more in the Jackson Smith and Jigwood conversation.
Hey, JSN's been awesome,
which is not a slight. But Jefferson and Chase.
Yeah. To me, those two are still pretty clear.
Yeah.
But Puka, those are the Puka's next two phenomenal.
To me. Yeah, those are the next two for me for sure.
All right. So I'm going through numbers.
Because
it's like, anecdotally, the other thing that I love about him is I feel like he never drops the ball.
Yeah.
He's pretty sure-handed.
Yeah, he's a sure-handed guy. You can say that.
He has one drop this season.
Just one. And because he gets the targets. He gets the targets.
And he is getting 42.3% of team targets.
Yeah.
That tracks. 42%. Look at the rest of those receivers, though.
I mean, but Devontae Adams, like, leading the league in touchdowns. And he's...
Well, that was the thing.
With Devontae out, like, it's...
Yeah. But you could tell where they missed Devontae last night was red zone. Because their first two drives, that was the other thing that kept me thinking the Rams were in trouble. Because I was texting my dad.
Yeah.
There were a couple of drives where they settled for some bad field goals.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're first and goal at the 4 and then you kick. That was the other thing. I saw a lot of people complaining. Did y'all have a problem with the illegal man downfield? He went downfield. Like I get it. He kind of stumbled, but like.
It's cut and dry.
Yeah,
like he went downfield.
That was the same thing. Like I was sitting there watching the game with my dad and that. Yeah. Illegal contact that kept one of those late drives going.
Mm-hmm.
By letter of the law, beyond 5 yards.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like it grinds my gears because
it doesn't.
Yeah, it grinds my gears because they don't affect the play. But the other part of it is by the rule.
If it happens, it happens.
It happens. Yeah. So it's like whatever.
You know, it's the question. I'm like, you can disagree with the rule, but it's a rule,
right?
Like I don't know, because that's the other thing.
And, like, those are ones that are, like, letter of the law. Like, they're usually pretty obvious.
The ones that are always the toughest, but this would be my spin zone for it. The ones that are always the toughest are the holding or illegal contact on the side of the play that the ball doesn't go to. But yeah, right. my spin zone for that would be is that is actually the refs doing their job. They're not supposed to watch the play. They have assignments.
Mm-hmm,
and
correct.
That's what we want them doing. I don't know. Like I saw then we also had a discussion about overtime.
Yeah.
I'm going to the grave. I think everybody's got it wrong on strategy. Everybody now is doing the move where you defer to so you know what you got to do.
You're talking about for coin toss, right?
Correct.
Okay, okay.
I can listen maybe in the playoffs
mm-hmm.
when the clock is actually theoretical. Because if you remember when we had the Chiefs-Eagles overtime?
Yep.
Had the clock actually gone to zero, they would have just started a new quarter. The Chiefs were going to get to finish the drive.
Right, right.
But in the regular season,
it's
when it goes triple zeros, over.
So you're a possessions guy.
So, number one.
Try and bleed it out.
You get the ball first.
That's a long time to try to bleed it out, though.
Well, the Cowboys almost did it to the Packers.
Yeah.
Like, the only way you can actually make it a one-possession game is if you possess the ball for the entire period. Now, that's a lot of running clock, but my bigger deal is
think about how conservative you have to be in that.
You gotta have ball control.
That's tough.
I've done it in Madden. Just telling you, I've had some online games where I literally possess the ball the entire
You're
first
committing
half.
On third and three to running the ball.
When you have Kenneth Walker and
Charbonnet. I'm committed on third and three to running mesh.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There you go.
Uh-huh. The only times I'm running the
some
ball.
Underneath. Some underneath.
I'm only running the ball against light boxes, but I don't play video games to run the ball. I play video games to read coverage and make throws.
You'd hate me.
Yeah,
I mean, that thing.
I'm that guy. Wind the clock down.
I mean, I didn't put chew clock on, but like, I know how to read the field. I'm changing routes. I'm doing stuff like that. But my other argument would be is, all right, you get the ball first. It's the only way to control the whole clock.
Yep.
Second, when the other team gets it and then you get it back, it's sudden death. You have the ball with sudden death. So I can maybe listen to an argument, and I can't stand when everyone's like, well, you don't know if it's a four down game. If the Seattle Seahawks, like let's say last night they would have, a tie does them nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Why the hell would they not play overtime as a four down game no matter what, even if they got the ball first? Because you're in your own end?
Yeah.
Like, you know that you have to win the game. Why would it's no different.
You're saying you give.
Just make it four downs.
Yeah.
Play it four downs. Like, I would love to know the percentage of overtime teams that punt the football that win. I'm going to bet it's close to zero.
Yeah. Man, you.
That's
everybody's going nuts. Like, oh, it's the right thing to do.
But
it's
are
like,
you willing to be that guy who goes for it around the 50-yard line
on
that first possession and then you miss it and then they just get 5 yards
heck
and kick a 60-yarder?
Heck yeah, because I got the easiest excuse in the world. I believe in my guys.
That's simple.
Playbooks
that go.
Yeah.
I'm convinced part of the
fourth and three.
Part of the whole for it now increasing too much is like, what do you want to do? The books that go.
I mean, that's the thing.
I don't know. It just does not make sense to me.
I get
could
your
maybe
point.
See it
I
in
am,
the playoffs.
I am still a defer guy because I want to see what because my worst case scenario is I go up the field. We get a field goal, and you go back and score a touchdown on me.
The other thing that was proposed.
I need to see what you do so I can.
No extra points in overtime.
No extra points? What's the point of that?
You got to go for two.
Oh, you got to go for two. Okay.
I personally don't like it. I like the idea of my whole thing is I want options, and mm-hmm. I want to see people make strategic decisions. It's the same reason why I want to.
Which is why the defer or receive is a – I mean,
right,
I like it.
I'm cool like with you having the choice, cause uh-huh. but I don't agree with the strategy everyone's taking.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Because everyone's saying it's the right thing. Like I don't
look if you ball control me for 9 minutes and leave me 1 minute on the clock, I probably deserve to lose. Honestly,
well, I mean, like, I will say, I guess that's This is the whole.
If I let you hold the ball for 9 minutes, walk up the field, I don't deserve to win.
Well, there is like that is another issue of. I didn't know what to make of it because it's Thursday night football, but like, Rams couldn't get a stop,
which is wild to me. Listen. I mean,
like in the end, now I also think. I think McVay probably did what I would do, which is I'm going to let Sam Darnold beat himself, but I thought he got way too conservative late. I think he thought 30 was enough.
Oh, for sure. Definitely got too conservative. They could have threw the ball more.
Because they were when they started pushing it again, they moved it.
Uh-huh.
I just thought he was doing the move of, let's get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I guess it's the other thing. It's like, if the two-point conversion doesn't happen, like, I think he probably wins.
He does win, yeah.
They were not able to run the ball like they thought. Was it the tackle? One guy got hurt.
Yeah.
And after that, they stopped being able to run the ball.
Yeah. That's a big part for them. Like,
all right, let's take a break. When we come back, I would presume the fight's going to be in one of your games of the weekend?
Oh, for sure.
All right,
for
so you're going to explain this to me, how big, because I don't understand Jake Paul fights.
Yeah.
I don't get why they're massive. Like, I don't get it. So you're going to have to try to explain to me why this one's going to be in your top five. We'll do that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, boys, we got a loaded slate because we also have some good college hoops. We got St. John's, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Arkansas, Wisconsin?
Is Arkansas, Wisconsin?
I think that's Saturday as well. I think we can all safely say is State Memphis making anybody's top five? Did not crack mine.
I ain't putting it in there.
Did not crack mine. Let's see. We've got not Arkansas. Arkansas plays Houston. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew there was a now big.
That's a good one.
We got to put
a little spice on it with that.
Uniform game. Carolina plays Ohio State.
That'll be fun.
Texas Tech plays Duke. That's at the Garden.
Yeah.
Auburn Purdue. I don't know what to make of Auburn. Does anybody yet?
No.
That roster is still weird to me.
All right, and then we have these schools are not the same, but you kind of think they are. Vandy plays Wake. Same color scheme, private school in the South. Yep. Like, yeah.
These schools aren't the same.
Should be a good matchup, though. Should be a good game.
That'll be a fun watch.
Ole Miss is playing North Carolina State in Greensboro. That's something that's happening.
The Will Waits.
That rant the other night.
Did you talk about it on the show?
We didn't get to it, but
so good.
I want to hate that guy, Will Wade. That guy's I can't hate
man.
Him.
He's different.
I don't know why. There's something about him that I find intriguing. I think he's such a grade school villain that he kind of leans into it. And it's like he's the bad guy in a prep school movie.
Yeah,
but like. He kind of owns it. But what was it? We got a
3.0 GPA.
It's good against your daycare.
Oh, man. This guy.
All right. George, you're number five.
We talked about it. I said I was going to pivot, so I'm going to pivot my number five. I'm going, this is kind of an off-the-beaten-path one, but does have some level of impact on the playoff race in the NFL. Chargers at Dallas. important kind of for both, because Dallas is purely in a we have to win every single game to even put ourselves in the chance. And the Chargers, they're definitely in that race in the AFC.
I don't think it can happen, but it's like I so desperately need Bills Chargers first round.
Oh.
And just so I can be like, hey, all you Herbert people, this is what the actual best quarterback looks like. This is who you tell me he is. All right, I don't hate that. DeMichael, you're number five.
I'm actually going boxing for five.
All right. Okay, explain to me why this is a big fight, because this is – you can tell me I'm wrong. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I feel like every Jake Paul fight goes the same, where people talk themselves into it, they watch it and go, that sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going up against a legitimate boxer.
Which is why people are talking to themselves. This is a legitimate hate watch. Jake Paul is an all-time hate watch.
And why is there money coming in on Jake Paul?
It's not because he's good. It's because people feel like it's going to be fixed in some type of way. It's like...
Shouldn't it be taken off the book? Like,
I mean, I would. I don't see... Like, if you just talk about boxing, I don't see how this goes more than two rounds. Like, there have been legitimate conversations about, like, him dying.
I mean, he's going up against a
like Anthony Joshua has,
heavyweight.
He has talked about killing this man in the ring.
Well, I mean, he has... Anthony Joshua, he's got a knockout highlight tape on YouTube that is extraordinary.
He's arguably, like, you know, Wilder has had probably the flashier knockouts, but you could make an argument that Anthony Joshua is the biggest puncher. The last
make heavyweights great again.
Yeah, man, they've been around, but yeah, like I guess here's the other thing to your point about why it's on the board and all that. In Anthony Joshua's last fight, which was over a year ago at this point, so you're already going to have the conversation like, oh, was it the layoff? Was it the rust? All that, but he got knocked down four times. His last fight got knocked down four times. Now he was going against a pretty good heavyweight. But he got knocked down four times in his last fight. There were people saying at the time, like, oh, he looked like a shell of himself, that whole conversation. So there is the part where this isn't 2021.
He's not at prime.
Yeah, it's not 2021 Anthony Joshua where he's going against Andy Ruiz and whatnot. But at the same time, this fight for Anthony Joshua is more of a get-right fight. Win this as kind of your tune-up and potentially set up a fight against the likes of Fury or Usyk. So he's trying to get back into that title hunt. And to do so, I mean, you got to win this convincingly. Because some people, here's the other part, it's an hate watch for the boxing community because this is like a credibility for boxing fight right here. Like, if you get beat by a YouTuber and you are an Olympic gold medalist,
yeah,
this isn't some guy like Deontay Wilder, you know, was a late bloomer, came up, raw puncher. This is a guy who, he's one of the greatest British boxers of all time. And he's an Olympic gold medalist. This is a guy who's eat and breathe boxing all the way through. And this YouTuber comes and beats him. Nah, people are going to,
All right, you sold me on the get right aspect.
Yeah.
All right, my number five, we were talking about this off the air, but I'm putting Alabama, Oklahoma.
Five?
It's weird that, like, to me, it's, I'm putting it at five. I think it's going to be a great setting.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma at night is really cool. ESPN has done a pretty good job of like setting the scene and whatnot. The problem is just Oklahoma games are not fun watches.
Nasty, nasty.
And I know their defense is good. I openly acknowledge that, but it's just they are not enjoyable watches.
Yeah.
Now, the spin zone is the Oklahoma-Alabama game a month ago was a pretty decent watch. And so I'm hoping we get another
one. Yeah, that was a really good game.
And then I think there's also the weird angle of, like, what happens if Alabama loses? Like, I think Kalen DeBoer's telling us the truth.
You really think there's a chance?
I just wonder if he takes a loss. Like,
really?
The losing, it's like,
there's no way, man. There's no way.
I think he's telling the truth.
I do, too.
All right, number four, George.
I'm going to one of those NFL games that you talked about earlier. I have Jacksonville on the road at Denver. To your point about Bo Nix just pulling random stuff out of who knows where and it working, Trevor Lawrence has been the king of that these last couple weeks where they've been on this little bit of a run. The only difference is Trevor Lawrence has a much bigger arm and has some better deep threats.
Man.
So, I mean, if they're able to get any sort of open grass could be a bit of a foot race.
That Jacoby Myers pickup.
Him with Brian Thomas, then you have ETN coming out of the backfield.
That is really done.
Brenton Strange has actually been pretty solid for them at the tight end position.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that defense is not a joke.
No.
I do think Jacksonville's record has people thinking Trevor's playing better than he is.
He's playing a little bit. He's playing YOLO ball, but like the team around him, I think, is better.
I think that defense is criminally underrated.
The defense is a big part of it. Good,
and they,
good coaching staff.
They can run the crap out of the ball.
Yeah.
All right, you're number four.
I'm with you. Oklahoma, Bama for me. Like same reasons pretty much. Other than like
the helmets are good.
Yeah. It's this game, and I've gotten this game wrong twice now. So it's like a personal part of this. Like, look, I'm gonna do it again. I'm gonna go with Bama again.
Oh no, I'm like, absolutely. There's no way you can beat him three times in a row. It's no chance.
So I'm locked in for this one.
All right, my number four, I think I'm going to go with Tampa and Carolina. Somebody's going to win the South.
Somebody's got
to
win the South.
Someone has to.
Somebody's got to win the South.
What is this, 2011 NFC West or something? 2010 NFC West?
Gross.
Baker will always be my boy, and I feel like this is like, hey, all hands on deck, lock arms. Like, we need it, – it takes a village, and so I got to be there for him.
Could this be a McMillan game?
The Panthers make no sense.
Their secondary is actually good.
But like,
I mean, when they see good teams, though, they like, lock in.
Last week, they had no business losing the Saints game. And yet, it's like, they'll have these drives where you're like, they can move the football. And then it's almost like they think like 17's enough. And then they just like shut it down. They're like, no more mistakes.
They're a very conservative team.
Yes.
It's very little, you know, aggressiveness. I mean, and they've won games playing that way. Like, it worked to a T against Green Bay. Like,
that was a third down masterclass.
Yeah. That was like, the only way.
That was a masterclass of how to hold the football.
Yep. Exactly.
All right, Georgia number three.
Going to DeMichael's boys here. Green Bay on the road in Chicago. That offense is still fun. Jordan Love is still playing really high-level ball. And this, again, huge, huge implications on that playoff race in the NFC.
Number three, DeMichael.
Yeah, that's where I am. Packers Bears. I'm hurt. I'm still grieving, but I'll be there.
Maybe this is unfair to the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like Micah tearing his ACL was just like such a gut punch, and I understand they still have other good defense. They had a good defense before they got Micah.
Yeah. It's just gonna look different. Like Green Bay is now like what Halfley last year was all about the exotic blitzes, right? This year, they just
keep it in front. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't, he said it himself. We don't have to blitz anymore when you got Micah Parsons, and it's true. So it's going to look different, but I think, I mean, they should based on last year. Like, it's pretty much the same guys. Should be a decent defense.
All right. My number three is Pittsburgh Detroit. I mean, because it's right now, it's like
do or die for both.
Mm-hmm.
100%. All right. You're number two.
Number two. Back to college for me. I've got Miami on the road at Texas A&M. That should probably be our best college game of the weekend.
It's my number two.
Same.
What do you got? Are we all just, it's,
yeah.
It's,
I mean, look,
I know the spread's closer tonight. I'm more interested to watch that game tomorrow.
I feel like this game, I could come out of this game thinking, Ohio State, I don't know. If someone, like if, one
somebody
of these teams
flashes,
is capable.
Yeah.
If somebody flashes.
Both of these teams, like you were talking about earlier, like these are the two teams who are capable to me of flashing. Like if Beck comes out here, he's lighting these boys up. Marcel Reed's going out here, you know,
running
he has
all
a
over
big
the
day.
Place.
Yeah, right. I'm like, look, I'm not just going into that game automatically saying, oh, Ohio State's got it wrapped up. Like you better come the chin straps on, ready to play.
I think you're right. There can be someone that has a performance where we're like, I'm going to lose a lot of money on them in the next round.
Yep.
Like, I'm going to talk myself into that and do that. Number one, George.
Full bias, absolutely. Full bias. Don't care. Tulane at Ole Miss. I will be there. I will be in the flesh, in the stands, watching it. That place is going to be absolutely electric.
Wow.
DeMichael.
I'm going back to the Steelers lines. That's one for me. I like that game. It's a lot riding on the line for both teams.
I need the Lions to not screw up. Don't wear like the black uniform. Like, don't
don't get too pretty.
Classic.
With it.
Give
Let's,
me classic Steelers.
Yes.
Classic Lions.
Yep.
Give me good uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
I can be there. I can't believe no one else. I am fascinated by New England and Baltimore on Sunday Night Football.
That's your number one?
Yes. Okay. Because it's
I could have talked myself into being on the five. Yeah, I could have.
Lamar looked better last week.
Yeah.
But was that Bengals adjusted?
No, because he was running. He ran it a little bit. Like it was
with New England. All right, you played a playoff team and lost.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't played a lot of playoff teams. Like
a little bit of a prove it.
How do you do? I'm putting they're on slight fraud watch.
Yeah.
Better record than team. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll tell your story next. Right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys. For today's Don't Tell the Story, tell your story. Last night, LeBron was asked if Keontae George is playing at an all-star level, and he said, I'm the wrong guy to ask about that. I watch YouTube golf these days. And this is my whole, because I'm always on the LeBron never does anything by accident.
Yeah.
I'm very woke on, I can't figure out what LeBron's angle is trying to get into the golf space, but he is going all in.
Catch LeBron on YouTube golf.
I think it's
soon.
Like some people are like, dude, it's just like he's just gotten obsessed. Like there's some business angle.
It's always.
There's always an angle with LeBron.
Oh, he's strategic.
He doesn't do anything by accident.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like maybe this should be a wine phase. Remember we had the LeBron phase. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
All right, my man. Good luck to the Packers while you cover a game tomorrow night.
Appreciate you.
He of course is DeMichael Cole. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For George, for DeMichael, this is Jeffrey Sand. Thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn's show's coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.